Theological University is offering free your first introductory online Bible course. You only pay for your textbooks. CTU provides the rest. Go to conservative.edu for more info. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, and I think I have for the past several minutes, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. If you got questions you'd like to ask Dr. Reed Sheftall, he is his background is in as a surgeon, heart surgeon, plastic surgery, having taught at one of the universities in California, and Southern California University. He taught physics. He's a physics expert, as I would like to call it, because of his credentials and background. I'm thankful for his knowledge and the books that he's written and published on the question about COVID. When I use the term question about COVID, he's definitive in who did what, when, where, and how. In fact, I recommend those books. Dr. Sheftall, give us the title, and then you can find these books, ladies and gentlemen. Go to conservative.edu, scroll down to the bookstore, and you find them. Tell us about those books, Dr. Sheftall.
Okay, the most recent book that I've written, believe it or not, is 2,000 pages long. And I don't want to scare people away from getting volume one, which is only 300 and something pages long. But it demonstrates in detail the proof that I just gave you in a sort of a quick snapshot of it, that there was no SARS-2 virus. Mm-hmm. It failed on all three pillars of existence that you must demonstrate. When you have to normally demonstrate each of the three pillars. So it failed on all three of them, which is horrendous. So there's no question that there was no SARS-2 virus. Anyone that thinks there is at this point is just scientifically illiterate. I hate to be too harsh there, but we need to move on from this. That's clear. Absolutely clear. Now, the other parts of the book bring up things that people find very, very interesting about the whole process, about the whole way the whole thing was designed, like the Dr. Li Wenliang, who is the eye doctor that supposedly was the whistleblower. He was just a paid actor from the CCP, mm-hmm. and I proved that.
That's the Chinese Communist Party.
Yes, that's right. History. Yeah, yes, most definitely he was a paid actor. There were too many problems with his story. And I detail every single one of them in the book. The book is called Sanctioned, the COVID Murders. And volume one is a tale of two viruses, because there was a virus that they attempted to do, quote, gain-of-function research on. This is the one that Dr. Fauci lied about in Congress. You remember that, don't you, Pastor? Okay. That was built on a coronavirus backbone, where they could insert different modules and see what they did to humanize mice, which are mice that have a receptor on them that is a humanized, a human receptor. That's why they call them humanized mice. Mm-hmm. So they were able to do experiments with it. But that contraption never made it out into the real world. That was just experimented on at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. That's where virtually everyone's wrong about that also. And I can explain why just with basic logic. You don't even need to know any science to explain why there was no lab leak. lab leaks are events that you don't have any control over. You know, whether you when it's going to leak or whatever, if it's a true leak. Mm-hmm. Now, you can make a case, which I used to before I realized there was no virus, that the thing was released deliberately from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. That makes a little bit of sense.
That's been my position.
Okay. Now, so there was that virus, which is just an assembly on a coronavirus backbone, and then the other virus, which didn't exist either, but was considered to have existed, which was the basis for the vaccine and all that stuff, and the genome was sent to GenBank and so forth, was the 41-year-old Chinese man who is an alumnus, if you will, of the Huanan Seafood Wet Market. And I know you remember that theory.
Yes.
That theory was debunked, but a doctor named Fan Wu in China had taken the bronchoalveolar lavage fluid that I talked about in the previous segment from that 41-year-old Chinese man. No one else, which is ridiculous, of course. There were 11 or 14 people at the Huanan Seafood Wet Market they could have confirmed their genome with or anything, and they didn't check anybody else, which is very suspicious.
It is, absolutely.
Okay, but they did that.
It's like a plant.
Sure. Mm-hmm. They did that one person, and then they made that crazy in silico genome, and that's what was sent to GenBank, and then vaccine makers all over the world use that fake genome to make the vaccine.
What are the things?
All of this is proved in my book. Everybody should read this. You must start to learn what the government has done to the people who, unfortunately, weren't able to learn this in school.
Deception,
to a certain degree.
Deception and lies. I go back to the article. Headline, we were lied to about everything around COVID, according to Robert Kennedy Jr. Here's the introductory paragraph. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said that the country's response to COVID-19 pandemic was politicized and alleged that the federal government had lied to the American public about effectively everything about COVID, including the efficacy of the vaccines and the effectiveness of wearing a mask. In a hearing about President Donald Trump's health care agenda, Senator John Cornyn, a Republican of Texas, asked Robert Kennedy whether he believed COVID-19 was politicized. Quote, here's Kennedy's answer. The whole process was politicized, Senator. I mean, we were lied to about everything dealing with COVID, end quote. That's a pretty broad brush statement. So my question, Dr. Sheftall, what confidence can we place in what Robert Kennedy is doing? Now, I personally believe that he's the best thing could have happened to our health services agents in the government. Tell us your thoughts and why you think it.
Well, I've got a mixed answer for you because it's complicated. Mm-hmm. RFK Jr. is a very brave person, I feel.
Yes.
I feel he's very honest. Mm-hmm. But he is not a medical person.
Right.
Now, that being said, he has got a lot of advisors around him who are very smart, but unfortunately who were wrong on COVID at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about Dr. Oz, Dr. Marty Makary, etc. They were quoted in my first book, Heroes and Villains, the COVID-19 Book of Lists. I listed a bunch of ridiculous statements by people, and both of those gentlemen, they're both very good doctors, I think, but both of them were so wrong about COVID because they believed in the official narrative also.
That's right.
So they got tricked also, I'll say. Now, I myself, Dr. Mike Eden, and a few others saw the trouble immediately. And that's why, for example, I was able to explain using physics why the masks did not work and could not work way back in March of 2020. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, it's been a controversy up until the present day, practically.
Absolutely. You still see people wearing a mask.
You still see it. And many other things. I was the first person to determine the correct infection fatality rate. The government was trying to tell us it was 4%, and actually it was 1/40th of that.
Yes.
They were trying to scare people into taking this vaccine from day one. Therefore, there was some planning that went into it, obviously. And here's the other thing that'll blow your mind. If I could just throw in something that people will really ponder over. You're going to have to think a little bit while I explain this. But in the genome for the SARS-2 virus, there's actually a piece in there that was patented by Moderna in 2017, before this whole fake virus thing came along, mm-hmm. before COVID even started.
Yes.
It was patented by Moderna, and it's 19 base pairs long. So that means the chance that it happened by chance, the odds that it happened by chance, and it just appeared in there. It's the reverse complement of a sequence that they patented is 4 to the 19th power. And you know what that is? It's 275 billion. So it was a 1 in 275 billion chance that that thing appeared in there randomly,
randomly,
you will.
Yes.
Okay, it'd be like reading, it'd be like asking someone to read the Bible, okay, and then having some paragraph in there about Fred Flintstone.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't belong in the
narrative
the
at
Bible.
All.
So right. You wonder, that didn't happen by random. Someone put that in there. It'd be
right.
too, the odds would be too low of it happening randomly. But that is in the, now here's the really thing you have to think about. That's in the genome of the SARS-2 virus. Okay?
Okay.
Now think about this. Nobody's dumb enough to put something in and not do it on purpose to be caught. So they wanted to be caught putting a fake insertion into the genome for SARS-2. Now, why would they want to be caught doing that?
Odd.
Huh?
It's odd.
It's odd, but there's a very good reason why they wanted to. They wanted to trick the public into thinking it was made in a lab, an escape from a lab. Mm. Okay? So that whole
narrative.
Illness, the narrative of the illness for SARS-CoV-2 causing COVID-19 was all a ruse. It was a patsy, if you will,
mm-hmm.
just to get us to take the vaccines. Because all they're trying to do is scare us into taking the vaccine. Because they
worked.
Wanted to put something in that vaccine. And we've talked about the plasmids, haven't we, with the SV40 promoters and enhancers
yes.
in it,
mm-hmm.
and the spike protein sequence. That spike protein sequence, for people to just open their mind a little bit, has nothing to do with some little thing sticking off of a virus. It's a sequence that they wanted to put into every person in America.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a very close friend who's a super brilliant person who has made a beautiful timeline for why they did this that's going to appear in my next book, which is all about all the timelines, which don't make any sense at all,
mm-hmm.
such as Bill Gates buying interest in the vaccine before the virus was even discovered. That's
right.
A little weird, isn't it? That's
back
backwards.
In, back in what, 2015, wasn't it?
No. He did it in 2019 on August 1st, but the powers that be said the virus was discovered in December of 2019.
Yes.
So how could he have bought the virus back, bought the vaccine, I mean, back in August mm-hmm. of 2019. He knew it was going to happen. He knew this fake story was going to get released. You with me?
Yes.
Okay. So there's so many crazy things in the timelines, which people will enjoy reading very much. It'll bring back memories of how this was done to us, but it's really important to look at the timeline because it does not make sense.
You recall the name Dr.
That's in the next book.
Good. Do you recall the name Dr. Deborah Birx?
Oh, of course. Oh, God. In my first book, it's called Heroes and Villains, a COVID-19
yeah.
book of lists. And one of the lists is women who caused the most death and destruction. And so I had to decide whether it was going to be Rochelle Walensky, you know, who kept the vaccine, you wouldn't get the virus and
right.
all this stuff.
Right.
You know, Gwen, who said the thing every day, or Deborah Birx. And I finally decided that Deborah Birx caused the most death and destruction because she pushed the lockdowns.
Yes.
She's the one that tricked Trump into renewing the lockdowns, all that stuff. It's all in her book, too.
And just this past week, she was on one of the networks being interviewed about her feelings of what is happening now with the takeover, as she called it, of the Health and Human Services by Robert Kennedy.
Yeah, I bet you.
She demeaned him royally
yeah.
and wanted to the listeners, as she was speaking in that interview, wanted the listeners to understand, don't believe anything Robert Kennedy says. Don't believe anything that he's doing. He's destroying the health of millions in America, and we need to keep on pushing the vaccines, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, yeah,
she still hadn't given up on the lie.
No, she's still pushing. It's absolutely ridiculous.
And yet I've got a headline here that makes sense when we see, in retrospect, all that's been said and done and who believed it. The strange religion of vaccine worship Nearly half of all Democrat voters backed measures requiring the unvaccinated to live at least temporarily in detention facilities. And it goes on to talk about, it wasn't until right after the a little girl that after third and final vaccination that she died. And it goes on to talk about how it was pushed, the narrative on television and radio, by the media, by the Marxist media, and by the politicians that we needed it, to the point that it became a religion of vaccine, as this writer calls it, where everybody felt that we've got to bow, we've got to submit, we've got to take the vaccine. And Dr. Birx and Dr. Fauci were the promulgating pushers behind that. They became the face on every afternoon CNN, Communist Network News, and many of the other channels. And it was something that people began to believe that, as you alluded to a moment ago, that you got to do so. But I'm looking at another headline that says this: COVID vaccines are no longer recommended for healthy children and pregnant women, according to Robert Kennedy. Why would he do that if it is good? Why would he immediately say that they're not recommended? In fact, his push is to eliminate all the vaccines called COVID.
Well, that's contradictory to what you just said, that he wanted to eliminate them for healthy children and pregnant women,
Tell
right?
Tell us about it.
This is the problem I have with Robert Kennedy. He is partly right, because they should be eliminated for everyone. Mm-hmm. There's no scientific basis for those vaccines. And let me just say something to the audience that's listening. You know, I take my reputation as a doctor, and also my academic pedigree, if you will, very seriously. And I don't say anything that I can't prove. And as we rant and rave on a show like this, we do so with the absolute certainty we can prove everything we're saying.
Yes.
And I have a little bit of problem with Kennedy's stance on this. He's kind of sitting on the fence, and that's what bothers me about it. He has some advisors who probably think there's some good in the vaccine. And I'm telling you, there's no way there could be any good in the vaccine, because it's based on a genome that doesn't even exist. So here's my what I want to say about Robert F. Kennedy. You know, he's a lawyer, which is great, mm-hmm. and he's litigated problems with vaccines for most of his adult life.
Right.
So that's all positive.
Yeah, he knows the back room.
But he needs some better. He knows the back room, and he knows the guys are up to no good,
right.
The big pharma guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, he needs some better advisors, and he needs some advisors that can prove to him what they're claiming. Someone like me, I hate to toot my own horn, but if you're listening, Secretary Kennedy, you need to get some better advisors.
Yeah, I agree.
Starting
with
maybe with me, because I have a different take on it, and I can prove everything I say.
I agree with that, and here's validation of what you just said. I'm looking at a headline. Former CDC director calls for the removal of COVID-19 vaccines. Redfield, you know the name?
Sure. But Redfield, of course, is a criminal from the beginning of this.
Yes.
He was dead
yes.
wrong on
yes.
everything.
And now he's coming to the forefront and saying that all COVID-19 vaccinations should be eliminated.
Absolutely.
Listen
they
to some of the writing in this article. COVID-19 vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna should be pulled from circulation completely, according to the former Center for Disease Control and Prevention officials. Quote, I really would like to see the mRNA vaccine used curtailed, and personally I'd like to see it eliminated completely, because I think there's too many unknowns, Dr. Robert Redfield told Epoch Times, America's thought leaders, in an interview that will be released December the 9th. That's already released. Pfizer and Moderna vaccines against COVID-19 utilizes messenger mRNA technology. They were the first mRNA vaccines to receive clearance when regulators authorized them in 2020. And he goes on to say, I do not advocate the mRNA vaccines anymore at all.
Okay.
End quote.
All right. I'd like to know if he made that statement from jail. Did he? Because he deserves to be in it.
That's
first
right.
of all, they aren't mRNA vaccines. Mm-hmm. They're modRNA vaccines.
Right.
And this was a mistake that was made by every senator when they grilled Kennedy a few weeks ago. Remember that?
Yes.
ModRNA is what was used in the vaccines, not messenger RNA. Messenger RNA goes through denaturation, you know, denatures itself,
mm-hmm.
within hours, at the most days. And we already know that the mRNA vaccine has lasted over 2 years.
Yes.
It's 709 days. Hang on, I've got to talk to you about this, because this is one of the big problems. The mRNA is a pseudo-uridination of the uracil residues in messenger RNA. And that we're not using messenger RNA. That pseudo-uridination makes the molecule almost impossible to break down. We're still finding it in the blood of patients that got the vaccine. It also causes frame shifting. And I don't want to get too technical about frame shifting, but as you know, codons map to different amino acids in the proteins that are produced. Have you heard that before?
Yes.
Codons. Mm-hmm. And when you do the frame shifting, if you're going to shift over one nucleotide, you're going to get a completely different codon, which is going to map to a completely different amino acid. So you end up with nonsense proteins, we call them, mm-hmm. We don't even know the damage they cause. I mean, there's so much involved in this that obviously Robert Redfield doesn't even know yet. He's calling it mRNA vaccines. I mean, good Lord, put him in jail. He was wrong about everything at the beginning also. And I hate to be harsh, but at some point we've got to call out these people that are getting interviewed by the Epoch Times, Epic Times, and they don't even know who they're interviewing or whether he says is true or false.
Here's the thing that I link on to with what you just said, not even knowing the damage at the results of it. Here's a headline: COVID shots triggered suicidal thoughts, violent behavior, homicidal ideations, according to the latest study on the COVID shots. Yes.
Okay, let me tell you something that you probably already know, but some of our viewers might like to hear a fact like this. There were only two causes of death that increased during COVID. Drug abuse deaths and suicides. Mm-hmm. All the other causes of death, heart disease, kidney disease, and on and on and on, decreased during COVID.
During COVID.
Of course, they got rebranded as COVID, mm-hmm. is the truth of what happened.
Right.
But these people, what the government did to the average person, made them lose their jobs. Mm-hmm. During the lockdowns.
Right.
Remember this? Made them lose their place where they were living because they couldn't pay rent anymore.
That's right.
Caused them to suicidal ideation, and a lot of them carried the suicides out. It increased during those years. Suicides were up.
Yes.
A lot of people became drug addicts, mm-hmm. because of it.
Yes.
It was disgraceful what they did to the average person. And I mean, I don't just mean the average person. Everyone that lost their business, they may have been far above average person, but they caused them to lose their business.
Yes.
Remember, they closed the doors for those people. There is an amazing amount of information about this. And you were talking earlier about the lockdowns, how damaging they were. And I've done a very scientific study on lockdowns, which I'm going to release in Volume 3. But we were talking about the number of people who died during the lockdowns and because of the lockdowns. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that earlier in the show. Did you know that the WHO predicts that, and they're not the most right-wing group in the world, WHO, they're very far left. Mm-hmm. They admitted that 80 million people have starved to death because of the lockdowns. And you might say, how could so many people have died during the lockdowns? And the answer is the supply chains were disrupted severely during the lockdowns because a lot of country closed all their factories.
Right.
And they couldn't get donated food to South Sudan and all the places where they were always on the verge of starving. And we finally solved that problem in the world. But during COVID, those people started starving again because we couldn't get the food to them because the tankers weren't going in the same routes as they were going before.
Yes. Here's a further elaboration on the statement about what COVID has done. I've used the term.
It wasn't COVID now. It was the government that did
the government
stuff.
And the shots as a result.
Yeah, but what I love to make the points with. Did COVID cause any of this? No. It was the government's reaction to this made-up thing.
Absolutely.
That's what it was. And they were certainly involved in making it up.
My prayer is that somehow, some way, that we, the people, will get enough truth and see the light enough that we will never allow this to happen to a free America again.
Absolutely.
That's my desire. And we had, I think it was 29 or 30 states that instituted through the House and the Senate of those states and processed and had the governors to sign into law the immunity laws that prevented the citizens, we the people, from having any recourse against the lies, the deception, the delusion, and the death that was caused by the COVID incarceration in hospitals.
Absolutely.
And the death as a result of it. This article reads, it goes back to what I started earlier. COVID shots triggered suicidal thoughts, violent behavior, homicidal ideation, according to the study. Acute psychosis, anxiety, delusion, mania, panic attacks, schizophrenia, all at least in part were triggered by the COVID vaccinations. And it goes further. An alarming result revealed that the treatments for COVID, which was unlike any previous vaccination, triggered serious neuropsychotic conditions, causing suicidal thoughts, violent behavior, homicidal ideations that skyrocketed during the COVID pandemic. The study also found massive surges in brain injuries, cerebral hemorrhaging, brain clots, etc., etc. Speak to that as we close.
I will. In my book, as you know, because you've read it, Appendix 1 is a list of over 1,300 horrible diseases
yes.
that came from only one injection of the vaccine, only one dose, and over 1,300, that's nine single-space pages. All of the conditions you just listed and thousands more, right, occurred because from just one shot of the vaccine. Can you imagine that? And diseases like transverse myelitis, that's a paralyzing disease.
That's right.
Guillain-Barré syndrome is a paralyzing disease. Multiple sclerosis, all these horrible diseases that cause not just death, but paralysis. It's just criminal what went on. And also, when President Biden, Rochelle Walensky, and Tony Fauci said all the way into the summer that if you get the vaccine, you will not get the disease. That freed people up who had gotten the vaccine and thought they were safe.
Yes.
Going around and exposing themselves to problems and more vaccines and so forth that ended up destroying their body.
Yes, absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, a final closing thought, as we've been talking with Dr. Reed Sheftall about the COVID update. And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge him, that's speaking of God, and he shall direct thy paths. That's my challenge as we close today. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1.